mengelola prasarana dan sarana yang sudah diselesaikan pada tahap awal tadi. Jadi dari Kementerian PU dan Kementerian Perumahan sekarang menyerahkan pada UIKN untuk kami kelola dan kami pelihara. Itu dari APBN.
Basuki also explained the president has approved a budget of 48.8 trillion rupiah for the 2025 to 2029 period funded by the state budget. This budget will cover the completion of the judicial and legislative ecosystems, improve access to development zone 2 in IKN, and support the maintenance of infrastructure built during the first phase of development. Director General of National Export Development at Indonesia's Ministry of Trade, Fajarini Puntodewi, stated, the Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Trade, is targeting export growth of 7.1% by 2025. She shared this during the event Indonesian MSMEs Go to Europe, held at the Institut Français Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday.
Dengan target sebesar 8%,
with a target of 8%, we as the Ministry of Trade are calculating how much export growth we need to achieve to support Indonesia's economic growth. For this year, the Ministry of Trade is targeting export growth at 7.1%. This will be done gradually over the next 5 years. Fajarini explained the Ministry of Trade has three main programs, one of which is to help micro, small and medium enterprises enter export markets through a program called Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises, Dare to Innovate, Ready to Adapt for Export, MSMEs Can Export. In this program, the Ministry of Trade will act as a coordinator for MSME export activities. The steps include developing export products, improving the capacity of exporters, and expanding access to export markets. The ministry has identified 173 trade exhibitions annually that MSMEs can use to export their products. The Indonesian government has made it clear that it has no knowledge of or involvement in any plan to relocate residents of Gaza, Palestine to Indonesia. The idea reportedly linked to post-conflict reconstruction efforts after the Israel-Hamas war was firmly rejected by the government. Speaking on Tuesday, Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson Roliansyah Sumirat emphasized Indonesia's strong stance on the issue.
Saya juga perlu tegaskan bahwa Indonesia tetap tegas dalam posisinya bahwa
Indonesia doesn't support any proposal to move people out of Gaza. Relocating residents will only serve to reinforce Israel's illegal occupation of Palestinian territory and align with broader efforts to displace Palestinians, something we have always strongly opposed.
Untuk mengusir orang Palestina dari Gaza, sebuah hal yang selama ini selalu kita tolak.
Roliansyah also urged the recent ceasefire in Gaza be seen as a chance to open dialogue and work toward a peaceful two-state solution, guided by international law and agreement. Next, we have Bank Indonesia that fully supports the implementation of government programs stated in the Astacita or 8 main missions. This was conveyed by Bank Indonesia Governor Perry Warjio during the launching of the Indonesian Economic Report 2024, which was followed virtually in Jakarta on Wednesday.
Bank Indonesia mendukung penuh program-program dalam ASTA.
We fully support the programs in the government's ASTA ideals that I mentioned earlier, stability, provision of government securities, from the secondary market liquidity injection for credit, and the third is food security. The fourth is digitalization. In addition, we also prepare for the success of the DHE-FDA government regulation, foreign exchange of natural resources export proceeds, and also the nutritious food program. Perry Warjio said in supporting Astacita, Bank Indonesia also continues to coordinate with relevant ministers. He added the central bank also supports food security programs associated with inflation control. Perry said Bank Indonesia mobilized 46 Bank Indonesia representative offices throughout Indonesia to support the success of food downstream programs. Towards the first 100 days of Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto's leadership at the end of January 2025, one of the significant achievements that can be noted is the effort to strengthen defense and security and achieve self-sufficiency in the food sector. Indonesian State-Owned Enterprises Minister Erick Thohir emphasized Indonesia's success in improving defense and food self-sufficiency is the result of a strong collaboration and commitment under the direction of President Prabowo. We continue with Indonesian Presidential Communication Office spokesperson Prita Laura, who said the high level of public satisfaction with the performance of Prabowo-Gibran government is a reminder to maintain good performance. Prita, in a conversation with Pro3 RRI on Wednesday, said the government will continue to work well even though the level of public satisfaction with the government's performance is high. According to her, previously, Kompas RND released a survey on 100 days of government work on Monday. The survey results noted the level of satisfaction of the respondents reached 80.9%. We end the news with the National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIN, through the Education Research Center, in collaboration with the IDEC Institute, Hiroshima University, Japan, held an international symposium entitled Decolonizing Educational Practices Through Formal State Actors and Non-State Actors. The activity took place on Wednesday, Thursday, January 22nd to the 23rd, 2025, at the Agency Sarwono Prawiro Harjo Science Area, Jakarta. Head of the Agency's Education Research Center, Prima Fizanti, explained the paradigm shift towards the education system inherited by the colonial era in many parts of the world needs to be discussed by education experts today. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Well, listeners, today's commentary is about evaluating 100 days of Prabowo and Gibran administration. Indonesia's current government, led by President Prabowo Subianto and Vice President Gibran Raka Buming Raka, will mark its 100th day in office by the end of January 2025. As expected, many evaluated the administration's work during this early period. Evaluating the first 100 days has become a common practice. Various organizations have conducted surveys to gauge public satisfaction with the government's work. A poll from Litbang Kompas, the research arm of Indonesia's newspaper Kompas, shows that 80.9% of respondents are satisfied with the administration's first 100 days. According to Kompas.com, the high approval is largely due to publicly supported and populist policies. President Prabowo has been active domestically and internationally since the start of his term. On the global stage, besides attending important fora, the 8th Indonesian president expressed Indonesia's desire to join BRICS. As of January 2025, Indonesia officially became a member of the group, which now includes Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and the United Arab Emirates. Other key programs have also been rolled out. After a trial period in late 2024, the Free Nutritious Food Program was officially launched on January 6, 2025. While not all children in Indonesia have enjoyed it yet, President Prabowo apologized and promised that by the end of 2025, all children in the country would have access to nutritious food. Some also appreciated the steps taken by Prabowo's red and white cabinet in downstream and industrialization programs. Public housing is one of them, with 40,000 homes built since October 20, 2024. Indonesia has even partnered with Qatar to develop 1 million homes with a total investment of over 262 trillion rupiahs, or about 16 billion US dollars. Speakers of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, also gave positive feedback as she expressed her gratitude for the positive public reception of President Prabowo's government. It may be too early to judge the administration's success based solely on the first 100 days. However, at least, this could be an early step to realizing all that has been targeted and planned. Positive feedback and recognition can serve as motivation for ever greater achievement. However, the success is not just the responsibility of the President, Vice President, and Cabinet. The real support of regional government, businesses, and the Indonesian people will be crucial in shaping the country's future. Hopefully, his administration could be better, as President Prabowo has claimed that the red and white cabinets had work aimed to deliver the best for the people. That was commentary.
Today in history with January 22, 1903, about the birth of national hero of Indonesia, Professor Mr. Dr. Supomo. Supomo is known as one of the architects of Indonesia's 1945 constitution, alongside Muhammad Yamin and Sukarno. He was born in Sukoharjo, Central Java on January 22, 1903. Coming from a noble family, he had the opportunity to pursue his education at ELS in Boyolali in 1917, Mulo in Solo in 1920, and completed law studies at the Batavia Rex School in Batavia in 1923. During Indonesia's independence movement, Supomo was actively involved in the struggling for independence. He passed away at a young age due to a heart attack in Jakarta on September 12, 1958, and was buried in Solo. Moving on to January 22, 2010, when the first ever release of Sumatran Tigers into the wild. On January 22, 2010, Indonesia made history by releasing Sumatran Tigers back into the wild. The release took place at Tambling Wildlife Nature Conservation, an area with pristine natural forests. This event marked the first time such an effort was carried out in the world. Four Sumatran tigers were released, all of which had been captured in Aceh and Jambi after conflicts with local residents. According to the latest data from July 23 to the 29, 2024, Kerinci Seblat National Park Authority reported Sumatran tiger population is now only 130 to 140 individuals. We end today in history with January 22, 2012, the beginning of National Pedestrian Day. National Pedestrian Day is observed every January 22nd to remember the tragic accident at Tugu Tani, Central Jakarta, on January 22, 2012. The incident claimed the lives of 9 pedestrians who were hit by a car driven by someone under the influence of alcohol and drugs. The idea for National Pedestrian Day was first proposed by the Pedestrian Coalition, or COPECA, as a response to the tragedy and a reminder of the importance of proper facilities for pedestrians. That was today in history from Voice of Indonesia.
Pernah selamanya. Ku yakin kita kan terbiasa, walau mimpi jiwa tak terima.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's My Indonesia Highlight Supporting Business Meeting, Indonesian Trade Minister aims for Indonesian export increase to South Korea. Indonesian Trade Ministry supported the meeting of Indonesian and South Korean business people in various business forums and business exploration. This was the Indonesian government's commitment to enhance Indonesian products to South Korea. That was stated by the Director General for National Export Development, Fajarini Puntodewi, in the ASEAN-Korea Trade and Investment Facilities Mission to Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday. Fajarini said, business meeting in the forum and business exploration would support the implementation of Indonesian Trade Ministry's priority programs, such as export market expansion and micro small medium business export program UMKM Visa Export Enhancement. According to Fajarini, the forum is also useful for the implementation of the Indonesian Trade Ministry's Export Improvement Implementation. The ASEAN-Korea Trade and Investment Facilities Mission to Indonesia was joined by 60 Indonesian business people and 11 South Korean business people, including the chairman of the Korean Importers Association, Kim Byung-kwan, and the head of Trade and Investment Unit at ASEAN-Korea Center, Win Min Pyo. Fajarani said South Korea is one of the most important economic partners in eastern Indonesia. The trade and investment relations between the two countries have been developing rapidly for years. In January to November 2024, total trade value of the two nations was $18.37 billion. On the program's continuity for 2025, Fajarani aimed for South Korea to stay as Indonesia's main trade partner. On that occasion, Fajarini also appreciated the efforts of the ASEAN-Korea Center and the Korea Importers Association that have facilitated this cooperation. She believes the results of this forum will pave the way for a closer, mutually beneficial, and sustainable partnership in the future. Fajarini added, in the future, the Indonesian government wishes to expand cooperation with Korea in various sectors, including infrastructure development, food sector, electric vehicles, agriculture, and human resource capacity development. Fajarini hopes the ASEAN-Korea Trade and Investment Facilities Mission to Indonesia will be an important momentum to strengthen bilateral relations between Indonesia and Korea. That's My Indonesia.
Tergambar
singkat tentang kita. Terpisah jarak dan waktu, ini ku ungkapkan rindu lewat kata indah. Tak cukup untuk dirimu, sebab kau selalu indah dari sekedar kata. Dunia berhenti sejenak menikmati indahmu. Dan apabila tak bersamamu, kupastikan ku jalani dunia tak seindah kemarin. Sederhana tertawamu sudah cukup lengkapi sempurnanya. Tanpa hawamu, percuma senyumku dengan dia. Sebab kau terlalu indah dari sekedar kata. Dunia berhenti sejenak menikmati indahmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Mount Bromo in East Java, Indonesia, the only active volcano within the Bromo Tengger Semeru National Park. This area offers breathtaking views and a refreshing atmosphere with its wide crater and refreshing mist. The tourism area spans 800 square kilometers, offering breathtaking views. There are several activities you must try when visiting Bromo. Bromo Tengger Semeru area provides jeep rides to various spots, such as Love Hill, Widodaren, Bromo Crater, Whispering Sand Dunes, and the Savannah. By riding a jeep that can handle steep and rugged paths, you can enjoy a thrilling ride while taking in the stunning natural scenery. Don't worry if you can't drive a jeep, as there are operators ready to drive and guide you safely through the area. The rental price for a jeep ranges from 600,000 rupiah to 1,250,000 rupiah, though prices may change over time. The vast stretches of black sand surrounding the mountains with the sound of whispering fans blown by the wind, will make you feel like the only visitor in Bromo Tenggara Semeru, just like in a movie. That's why many people come here to capture amazing Instagrammable photos, even for pre-wedding shoots. Listener, one of the most sought-after spots in Bromo Tenggara Semeru is the sunrise and sunset. Several places offer views of these moments, such as Penanjakan Hill, Love Hill, and Perahu Hill. From these spots, you can witness the sun rising or setting between the hills, mountains, valleys, craters, and sand plains, with the cool, refreshing temperatures revitalizing your body and mind. Well, listeners, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Terlalu jauh ke dalam kisah cinta.
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dear listeners, wherever you are, we meet again in Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces you to Indonesian's vocabulary and guides you to use it properly. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and Language Development and Fostering Agency, Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Our topic today is
Di Bima,
which means in Bima. You will hear a monologue titled
Memukulkan Tongkat Kayu,
which means hitting wooden stick. This monologue is performed by Chris, a vlogger from Australia, while recording the Kareku Kandi or Pony Races competitions at the Rimpu Mantika Festival, Bima City, West Nusa Tenggara Province. Chris describes the rhythm created from the sound of the tools used. Let's listen to the monologue.
Saat ini, saya sedang menonton lomba Kareku Kandi atau lomba menembuk pada lesung dalam sebuah festival budaya. Dari sini terdengar suara peralatan yang berirama. Para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu.
After listening to the monologue, we will introduce you some vocabulary related to today's topic.
Memukulkan tongkat kayu.
Meaning, hitting wooden stick. We will pronounce them slowly. You can repeat them after us.
Peserta.
Which means participant.
Memukulkan.
Which means to hit with.
Tongkat kayu.
Which means wooden stick.
Lesung.
Which means mortar.
Wadah kayu.
Which means wooden container.
Para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu. Para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu.
Which means the participants hit the wooden stick against the mortar or wooden container.
Menonton.
Which means to watch.
Lomba.
Which means competitions. In the monologue, you hear the phrase,
para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu. Para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu.
Which means the participants hit the wooden stick against the mortar or wooden container. In this phrase, there is the expression,
Memukulkan tongkat kayu.
Which means hitting with a wooden stick. Which means making the wooden stick a tool for hitting. In the context of the sentence, Chris describes the participants of the competition who are hitting the wooden stick against the wooden container. Now, another example. Let's listen to an example of using affixed words that means using something as a tool in other sentences.
Mengikatkan.
Which means to tie with.
Nelayan mengikatkan tali besar di ujung kapalnya. Nelayan mengikatkan tali besar di ujung kapalnya.
Which means the fisherman ties a big rope to the end of his boat.
Membalutkan. Membalutkan.
Which means to wrap with.
Saya membalutkan perban di kakinya. Saya membalutkan perban di kakinya.
Which means I wrap the bandage on his leg. Kareku Kandei, or Ponding Rice Seeds, is the unique tradition of the people of Bima City, West Nusa Tenggara province that has been around since ancient time. This activity is usually performed by women. The activity of pounding rice creates a rhythmic sound. Kareku Kandei was registered by the Indonesian government as an intangible cultural heritage of Indonesia in 2017. Before we end today's episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more clarity, let's listen to the monologue one more time.
Saat ini, saya sedang menonton lomba Kareku Kandei, atau lomba menembuk pada lesung dalam sebuah festival budaya. Dari sini terdengar suara peralatan yang berirama. Para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu.
Well, listeners, that was this episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with the conversation title
Memukulkan Tongkat Kayu. Memukulkan tongkat kayu.
Which means hitting wooden stick. We hope this edition is helpful for those of you who want to learn more about Bahasa Indonesia. We will meet again with different topic. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Ranov.
Thank you for your attention and see you next time.
Sampai jumpa.
Masih mati rasa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a traditional song from Papua titled Tatinggal di Papua. Written by Stephen Welly, this song is performed in the Papuan language and tells the story of someone deeply missing his hometown in Papua. The lyrics beautifully capture the essence of Papua's natural wonders, namely its majestic mountains, lush valleys, serene beaches, and the iconic bird of paradise. It's a song that makes you feel like your heart is left behind in the beauty of Papua. Well, listener, here is the song Tatinggal di Papua by Pacheno Gay. Enjoy!
Sapu hati su tak tinggal di gunung-gunung, di lembah-lembah, di Papua.
perahu masih sona di mamaya babi. Sona be mamaya fabi.
Jakarta. Inilah siaran luar negeri Voice of Indonesia. Siaran dalam bahasa Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia menyajikan berita, informasi dan hiburan serta serba-serbi tentang Indonesia. Anda dapat mendengarkan serta mengakses siaran kami setiap hari di SW3325 kHz dan 4755 kHz atau melalui website www.voinews.id dan aplikasi RRI Digital. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia. From Indonesia.
apa kabar? Senang sekali bersama saya Dora menemani Anda selama 60 menit ke depan di kesempatan hari Rabu. Beberapa mata acara akan hadir ke ruang dengar Anda dimulai dengan warta berita, komentar, dan info ringan lainnya, serta hiburan lagu-lagu Indonesia. Baiklah pendengar, kita mulai dengan warta berita dan tetaplah bersama kami, Voice of Indonesia dari Indonesia untuk Dunia, di frekuensi SW 3325 kHz dan website www.voinews.id.
Dari Jakarta, Voice of Indonesia, dalam warta berita.
Voice of Indonesia menyampaikan warta berita. Inilah sari berita penting. Presiden Prabowo setujui anggaran untuk pembangunan IKN tahap kedua. BUMN berkolaborasi dukung swasembada pangan energi di 100 hari kerja. Bersama saya Nova Kasim, inilah warta berita selengkapnya. Presiden Republik Indonesia Prabowo Subianto menyetujui anggaran kelanjutan pembangunan Ibu Kota Nusantara IKN periode 2025-2029 sebesar Rp48,8 triliun. Hal ini disampaikan oleh Kepala Otorita Ibu Kota Nusantara Basuki Hadimulyono usai mengikuti rapat terbatas terkait Ibu Kota Negara pada Selasa di Istana Presiden Jakarta. Presiden meminta Otorita Ibu Kota Nusantara untuk menyelesaikan pembangunan infrastruktur